such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Father, how are you?
You always make me nervous because I don't know if you're going to come in, and I don't know how well I do without having you as my my crutch. You know?
Crutch.
So, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Although Nick is on the other side, but I can't speak
right,
with
it's
Nick.
The way it's positioned.
So although I've done it a couple of times without anybody in the studio, right. But I prefer to have you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice. But anyway, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Good, and welcome to all our listeners, our thousands. You know, I have to say,
no,
I shouldn't say we have thousands, but it would be nice. Although we've had, I think the last I heard, we had about 5,000 who...
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening.
But you know, what's interesting is the Facebook. Now, this is the parish Facebook. And to be honest, I'm I can't even say the word. Technologically an idiot, ignorant. I don't apologize for that because I think I was meant for another time.
Right.
And I don't want to be... You know, I don't want to be bound to that.
You're not the only
stuff,
one for the same
you
way.
Know, but it's necessary. I say it's necessary. It's part of the reality today.
Yeah.
And so, there's certainly a, it's a good, in and of itself, it's a good. At the same time, you know, we know that like everything, it is, in many ways, a source of, there's a dark side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, an evil side, and it can, even apart from the dark or the evil, it can become a a major impediment or a distraction to the nurturing of one's relationship with God. But at the same time, I say we get this Facebook. So some of our young parishioners, two brothers actually, put together this parish Facebook, and it's gotten 17,000. It gets 17,000 hits.
Wow!
So I guess that's what they call, you know.
Good.
And quite a few responses, you know, responses. Mm-hmm. So it's been effective in that sense, and it's a beautiful way to communicate. For instance, the healing mass, which we have this Sunday in Spanish, at 5:30, Eucharistic healing mass, and then the first Saturday of October will be the mass in English. So we get a lot of requests for prayer. So I bring those prayers, those petitions into the chapel, into my own prayer. Even if I'm not in the chapel, you know, as I was in Rochester this past week, I just got back yesterday. And so being in a hospital setting and waiting from one appointment to another appointment, you know, you've got a lot of time. And I like that time, to be honest. And I purposely, and that's why I was thinking about this, as I watch everybody, I look around and everybody's either in their computer or they're on their
phone.
Cell phone. I guess the cell phone is their computer, you know.
Yeah, it is now.
And it's it's interesting to see that, you know, and I've been watching this for years, but I don't have any of that. I purposely don't have it, and I like it because I use that as prayer time. Mm-hmm. I need that, and it gives me a lot of strength, and it gives me a certain interior peace, and helps me to put things in perspective. Because I do know, you know, I have to go into the internet. I've got to see what's going on in the news. As I prepare for radio, but I see how addictive it can be. You can you put yourself in front of that, and you have to in a very intentional way pull yourself away from that. Even if I sometimes, and this morning would be an example, because I got back yesterday, and so I had a children's mass this morning. But before I went to Mass, I wanted to make a holy hour, pray, and today's the Feast of the Archangels. So Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, those are the three archangels. But I wanted to, you know, of course, reflect, pray the office, but I made the mistake of going to the computer because I wanted to see, okay, was there any, first of all, what are any email messages, mm-hmm. And I don't keep up with that, to be honest, but I have to check. And I do, you know, if there's an urgent need or whatever, I try to meet that. But then, what's going on in the news today, and then I have to be very intentional. I have to pull myself away so I can get into the chapel, because it's easy to get swallowed up in that. That need for information, you know, what's going on, and the one thing leads to another and all that. So it's but I bring that up because as I don't like it for myself, and I really don't, I don't like that sense that I feel drawn into that more often than I'd like or that I want. Obviously, I want to; otherwise, I wouldn't do it. But it's like a fast. Like you've got to fast. You've got to create that space away from that, so you can not only engage with God, but also with each other. Right. So I have a couple of questions for you. Anyway, I'll get around to it eventually. the questions, if I don't forget, but the. The point I wanted to make was the Facebook is proving to be very, very good, and so it's giving people a view into, or the door opens for this engagement, so that we can, as I said, they can bring their petitions, their needs, but also their questions. They have questions, mm-hmm. and. As a result, we're going to have a blue mass this Sunday because this is something that came to us via the Facebook. What's a blue mass? But it's a mass honoring the police officers, firefighters, first responders, the military, those who protect us. And this is an appropriate time because today's a feast of the archangels, and Michael is the patron of those who protect.
That's good.
Principally speaking, police officers. So this is something that kind of came up very suddenly, just in the past week, and I'm looking forward to it. Just looking forward to it. But anyway, so I had some questions for you, okay. And I don't remember what they are. So this morning at Mass, I was asking the children.
Okay. It's always good when it starts that way.
Well, maybe not. Who knows? But I was they study these seven habits of effective effective persons. Right. Effective persons. They have seven habits.
This just reminds me of meetings.
Exactly.
I'm
right.
Sorry, for some reason.
No, you're right. So I Catholicized the whole thing, and right. So I took the first habit, which was prioritize, stop, think. Make good choices, be responsible. So that's the first of the seven habits.
I like that.
Be proactive. So I say, okay, so what does that mean? But observe the commandments of God, fulfill the commandments of God, love the laws of God. And then I go into a whole thing on that so that we take those seven habits, which I think the gentleman's name is Covey, but the school's been very, very much immersed in that. And what was disturbing to me is that, as you know, in the past couple of years, they could so beautifully give you the seven habits and expound on those seven habits.
What about the seven sacraments?
What about the seven sacraments or the Ten Commandments or the Creed or the Beatitudes or the spiritual works of mercy, the corporal works of mercy? And so I took the time last year to go through all of those and to, I say, Catholicize, to Christianize the habits so that it's more grounded in our teachings and basically in sacred scripture. Because and so I asked the children, I came out with the first, because I said the angels, said the angels, they we lean into the good, which is to lean into God, lean into the light, or we can lean into evil or darkness or the deceiver. Because speaking of the angels, I mean, Satan was the highest of the angels, the fallen angel. And so he is, as Jesus said, he's the father of lies and the prince of darkness and the prince of this world. He's a deceiver, and he's the accuser as well. And so we have to understand the nature of spiritual battle that we're in this conflict. So I use the first habit to delve into all that. And so one of the fourth grader raised his hand, and I called on him, and he, you know, his mind went blank. And I said, I know it's on the tip of your tongue. It's there. He said, but I forgot what I was going to say. I said, well, I'm so happy because I do the same thing all the time. Yeah. But you're so young. You're so young. But anyway, so I forgot what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you something.
It'll come to you.
Yeah. So what do you think of the, I mean, how glued are you? Glued, I am saying glued. How tied are you to technology, which is good.
It's funny you should say that, Father, because as you're talking, I did that thing. I came home yesterday. I've been working late this whole week, so I come home, you know, 2:30 in the morning, and I decided I wanted to go on email because I was looking for a specific email, okay? So I started looking, and I found it. Then I found something else. Then I found something else. And before long, a whole hour went by.
Exactly.
So for me, I mean, I'm just like you. And I think, like, there's a lot of us out there. I mean, you don't need this stuff. It is very, you know, when you talk about Facebook, sometimes it can be used in a good way. But this is so time-consuming.
Completely,
it's supposed to be easy, but it's not. And every time I find myself, of course, I work for 8 hours, 10 hours sometimes on a computer as it is. But when I come home, I'm realizing that I can't read. I like to read, and I can't do it anymore.
Because of the
because of this. Sure, but then I'll go on this for, like, you know, looking for one thing, and an hour goes by. But
exactly.
So I guess, you know, I do the same thing. We need it for certain things, but you have to learn how to pull yourself away.
You've got to pull yourself away. It's addictive. I'm using the word addiction, but it is something very addictive about it.
That's the best word to use, I think, because I'm the same way. I mean, it's a shame that everything now has to be this way, but it's been like this for years now, and I think I'm finally coming up to it or catching up to it, like most of us.
So I was, and I mentioned this was in the last week's. I took it from the scripture last week because we haven't been on all week. I was in Rochester. Mary was here on Monday, and Father Coyes was here on Wednesday. Yeah. I think they must have done a repeat Tuesday and Thursday. So last week, you know, we were four times on the radio, which was good. It was nice. It was very nice. I was looking forward to being back today. And there's a lot of things that I was thinking about.
There's some good replays because, I mean, I was listening. I got into something I didn't hear. Well, actually, being here, you don't listen to it, but when it's on the radio again, they listen.
Yeah, I've never, ever listened to a show.
You don't, and I do, and I love it. It pulls me into something.
It's good. Because you're on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you're egocentric.
My fans, you know.
Exactly. So, I mentioned, you know, because last week in the first reading, it was from from the prophet Isaiah or the prophet Sirach? Well, you talked about that, didn't you?
I read that.
Wait, no. No. That was a week before. That was a week before last week. Okay. That's right. That was a whole vengeance thing, right? Last week, the first line of I meant to bring this book down. I didn't. I forgot it. That's okay. We take a break in just a second here. Nick's already, he wants me to be obedient. 15 minutes into the show. I like to get 30 minutes in. But anyway, let me just say real quick. Right. So the scripture began, seek the Lord while he may be found. While he may be found. So seek the Lord while he may be found. While he may be found. Wish I could remember. I'll tell you right now, because I've got this. I don't have the Bible with me. I should always have. Well, I do have it here, but I don't have the lectionary. So that was what? That was the 25th. That was Isaiah. This is like Isaiah. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Well, the implication is there's going to come a time, point in time or out of time, when he's not going to be found. So we're in a time of grace, which means this is the time to nurture that relationship with God. And so as I try to develop I kind of stayed with that thought. And what do we have to do? Well, we've got to create the space. Now, and I thank God, God is merciful, compassionate, faithful, persevering. But at the same time, we know there will come a day of judgment when we have to stand before God. I think we spoke about this where Rosh Hashanah is the 10 days which should be coming to an end. In fact, when is Yom Kippur? It's coming up.
Good question.
Can you find out when that is?
That's trying to find a calendar.
But the Rosh Hashanah, the Jews, the devout Jews, are observing Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's October 5th. I think it's October 5th. Okay. I could be wrong. You can try to find that. But anyway, right now they're in the what they call Rosh Hashanah,
mm-hmm.
and it's the days of awe where they greet each other with a wish that may your name be written in the book of life. And so this is a time to make amends, to set their lives right with God, to see that they're being obedient to the laws of God. If they've are in conflict with anybody, that they should make amends. And in this, basically, it's a way of not I don't want to say appeasing God, but it's to ensure that their name not be blotted from the book of life, because Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement, and as they observe, or their the belief is that the book is sealed on the Day of Atonement. For us, we know that our names have been written in the book of life, with the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God himself atoned for our sins. So the whole Rosh Hashanah, the whole this observance is a prefiguration or preparation for the messianic moment in time. Now, we've been saved, we've been redeemed, but we have to respond, right? And so Jesus said it's a difficult path, it's a narrow road, difficult path, and it is the way of the cross. Because nobody can escape that in life, but that the sufferings of this life are transformed. If we can unite our sufferings to those of Jesus on the cross, redemptive suffering, and make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, as St. Paul said, which sounds almost as if the sufferings of Christ, that wasn't enough. But it was sufficient in and of itself. But God ordained that we would participate in that, as we because we're not condemned to be here forever. We've got a point of destination, and that is to share fully in the kingdom of God if our names are written in the book of life, because there will be that day of judgment. And so we who are not spared the sufferings of this life, we who are in conflict and spiritual battle between the, you know, the spirit and the flesh. Again, we don't want to give free rein to the flesh, but we want to live under the dominion of Christ Jesus. We don't want to fall under the seductive powers of the enemy, Satan. We don't want, and when I say seductive powers, again, he creates the illusion, he creates the deception. And so in this battle, in this this fight for the good, this the grace needed, which is given, to lean into God, to lean into the light, to lean into life, to be committed to life, to be in the civilization of the culture of life, is, I think it was Pope John Paul II who spoke of the culture of life, or the was it the civilization of life, or the of light, or the culture of death? A culture of death would be leaning into, away from God, away from the commandments of God, and therefore contributing to the chaos and the confusion and the divisiveness and the destruction of life. And so these are choices we have to make every day, and we need the help of each other. So the Lord founded the church for this purpose. The church itself is in battle, in conflict. But we have the communion of saints, we have the angels, we have the whole heavenly court, so to speak, you know, with us in this, in a rather mysterious way. So, having said that, and we'll take a break, is that we've got to reappreciate this mystical body and the divine mysteries, the sacred mysteries, the world of the flesh imbued with the Spirit of God, and the world of the spiritual, which is quite an adventure. It's quite a beautiful thing, but to get into the adventure, into the drama, as I so often say, get into the drama, the technology, internet, the Facebook, all that can aid us or serve us in that, but then we've got to be able to pull away from that in order to be still and know that, as a script, be still and know that I am God, as God says, you know, be still and know that I am God. You know, let's shut the noise out and
become another distraction. I mean,
what's that?
Technology can become another distraction.
Big distraction.
You got to pull yourself away from it.
Because anywhere you go, we're just more and more inundated with noise. Mm-hmm. If you're on a plane, I just got off a plane, but you've got, certainly if you're making an international flight, you've got a screen in front of your face, and you've got multiple channels, multiple movies, multiple sitcoms.
Wow.
You've got all kinds of music, different kinds of music.
But I just realized how much we do have distractions. You know, there's never a time where it's like you can be just silent and still.
Right.
You always have to have something in your hand. You have to be looking at something. You have to be thinking about something instead of just saying peace, almost like going to the desert. We don't have that.
We have to be intentional about going into the desert, into the to an out of the way place, to the top of a mountain. And that was one of the points I wanted to make. I had all this time in the hospital waiting, you know, from appointment to appointment. I had a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there, a whole day there. But I found it very conducive to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say prayer, I mean just I had to find a little corner and just be there. And everybody around me is in the, you know, on their phones,
right,
or talking to somebody, or they're tuned in. And I must have looked like a freak because I didn't have
just
anything,
sitting
there,
quiet.
You know. But I really I savored that time, mm-hmm, because prayer is a mysterious thing, you know, because it's not just on our knees praying the rosary, or by the way, the month of the rosary is coming, mm-hmm, October 1st. So we want to encourage everybody to pray the rosary daily, not only during October, but this would be, if we've fallen out of the habit, this would be a good time to do that, really, if it's ever needed, it's needed now, that to pray for the conversion of sinners and for peace in the world. But to have that, prayer is not just being on your knees. It's not just saying the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, or it's not even just, you know, read. I say just. It sounds, you know, like I'm diminishing the power mm-hmm. of Scripture or this prayer. I don't mean to say that. But it's be still and know that I am God. Or Jesus is going to your inner chamber, into your inner room, into the inner chamber, into that inner sanctum. Shut the door. What does that mean? Shut the door, but shut the noise out. Mm-hmm. And he says, you don't have to say anything. Just be still and know that I am God. And I know you better than you know yourself. I know your thoughts. I know what you need. I mean, God knows it. And we have to express, right, mm-hmm. these things because it's the only way we know how. But to learn to listen, to reflect, and not even to expect to have the answers. But I think the great consolation is knowing that God is aware, that God abides within. I told you, I've shared this before on the radio, and this happened in the hospital where I was going through the chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a 2 hour there, this infusion. And so you what are you going to do for 2 hours? Well, there's, you know, you pray, or people may be, you watch the television. They got televisions in these rooms, or they've got, don't need the television because you got the cell phone and all that. But again, I don't take any of that with me. And so mm-hmm. I use it as a time to really be still and know that God is God. Just know, acknowledge that God is God, and he's aware of me and what's going on, and that's sufficient. That's mm-hmm. enough. He'll make some sense out of all this, and he'll carry me where he wants to take me. But I was praying the rosary, and somebody came in. I had my eyes closed, and the woman says, you're doing your Zen. Mm-hmm. And I says, no, I'm not doing Zen. I'm not a Buddhist. But I'm not looking at a dot or reflecting on or navel gazing or whatever. But looking at a person. That person is Jesus. That person is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mm-hmm. So it's a relationship. And she was. I told you she came back a couple of times in the course of that just to talk to me about that. So there's something very, very personal. Mm-hmm. It's incarnational. Spirituality. We're not just looking at a dot. We're not looking at a staring into space. We're not navel gazing. And yes, distraction comes in. There's thoughts that come through the mind and all that. But we learn to, you know, let it come, let it go. But not even to put so much attention to that, but just to know that, as I've said many times, that Jesus is not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture. The Blessed Virgin is not frozen into the pages of sacred scripture. The saints of old are not frozen in their specific time, you know, when they were in the flesh, but they're very much with us, aware of us, and we can have relationship. It's different from the way I'm speaking to you and you're speaking to me and we see each other, but there's something very consoling about that. There's a great consolation, you know. So anyway, break time. I'm sorry. Yeah, you see how I kind of extended it another 15 minutes, so we've got to do this. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
On Saturday, October 7th at 1 p.m., choose love, choose life, and join in the 5th annual Northwest Families March for Life, beginning at St. Teresa Church, 455 North Benton in Palatine. Join the march to be inspired and energized. All faiths are welcome to gather. Teens from Crusaders for Life will lead the march with their energetic drumming and singing, with life-affirming signs to share the love of life. Hear Joe Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League. Additional speakers include Bishop Brassus, plus Save the Storks Mobile Ultrasound Initiative. And David Smith will educate marchers on how to respond with love and truth to the anti-life arguments for abortion and assisted suicide. After the march, back at St. Teresa, there will be a reception. For complete details, visit northwestfamiliesforlife.weebly.com. That's northwestfamiliesforlife.weebly, spelled W-E-E-B-L-Y.com. Come to the Northwest Families March for Life, Saturday, October 7th at 1 p.m. St. Teresa Church, 455 North Benton in Palatine. Choose love. Choose life. St. Stanislaus Kostka's 150th anniversary dinner at the Union League Club of Chicago for Sunday, October 22nd, has been canceled, but will be rescheduled. Please listen to Winds of Change and also visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org for the new day and date for the St. Stanislaus Kostka's 150th anniversary dinner.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So the point I wanted to make was technology is good. Facebook is good because people do tune in. And with our own Facebook, I don't have Facebook. I don't go into the Facebook, but we've got a Facebook, the parish Facebook, and so there's been like 17,000 hits and a lot of responders, but they ask questions, you know. So there is this seek the Lord while He may be found. They're seeking, they're searching, and you know the other thing is, and I wonder about this, if it might be. I've heard this. From various people recently, more and more, that could we be on the cusp of a reawakening to the faith, only because the world is getting so crazy and people are getting crazy. By crazy, I mean it's almost nonsensical, the stuff we're being subjected to, you know, in the political world, in the world of the arts. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. But people want to, you know, they're kind of inundated. They're kind of tired. You know, we can be accused of being preachy. We're preachers. The church is known for preaching, which really proclamation.
What do you come to a church for if not to be preached the word of
right.
God?
Right. Exactly. And it's really the proclamation. But when people are, you know, we're right. talking about, you know, right from wrong, and
you just don't want to be told right.
Exactly. We don't want to be told. But the fact is, you can't escape it, because if it's not coming from the church, it's coming from somewhere else. And right now, people are just being manipulated into, or that at least there's these forces out there that are trying to manipulate people into believing or acting or doing this or that or whatever.
I think about where the other areas that we're preached to every day.
All I have to do is turn the TV on.
Exactly.
Turn the internet. Again, here's the internet.
I have no... I don't know. When people say, I don't want to go to church to be preached to, I have no respect for that, because if you can't realize that you're getting hit from all different angles every day, then...
The media today, news outlets, it's become mm-hmm. preachy. It's become very preachy. It's, again, the manipulation. And how do you distinguish between what is real, what is not real? I don't want to use the word fake news, but, you know, that's kind of the thing that's being thrown around. So technology is good because it shows me that people are searching. Mm-hmm. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And maybe the fact that there's so many that have tapped into our parish, our sanctuary, and are very sincere. I have to say very, very sincere in speaking about their own needs, sharing their petitions, because it's shared not only with me, but with everybody, right, mm-hmm. who has access to the Facebook, but also that they're looking for a place where they can come away from, I think, the noise of the world, and there seems to be this yearning for quiet, for some peace, for some quiet, some tranquility, come away from the chaos, and they're kind of reaching, okay, if I didn't get over that, you know, to know that there's a place open 24 hours, 7 days a week, where you can just come, whether you're Catholic or not Catholic, is that has come up as well. You know, oh, you mean I can come there? I'm not a Catholic, mm-hmm. but I can come and I can pray? Yes, of course. You know, we don't, our sacraments are not available to anybody and everybody. You know, we have to profess the faith. We have to be baptized. We have to be confirmed. We have to be in God's grace, sinners as we are. It's, as I was reading today too, it's not a club for the perfect. Or as Jesus said, and Pope Francis has reiterated this so often, the church is a filled hospital. It's Jesus says, I come not for the healthy, but for the sick, not for the righteous, but for the sinner. And if we all take a good look at ourselves, that's who we are. We're sinners, and we're a bit sick. So anyway, the thing is, we have to. It's good to tap into the technology and to even do our searching. You know, search God via the technology. But then we've got to create the space. This is, as I was writing last week in the letter, as if Jesus, the Lord, is saying, you know, okay, don't let the technology have dominion over your lives. Don't fall into this kind of enslavement, this kind of idolatry. It's a form of idolatry. But while we can learn about the faith through the means of technology, we can only know Jesus in the opening of our lives to his indwelling presence. He abides within us. To know that God is that close, that he abides within us, he's knocking on the door of the heart and wishes to stay with you, with me, and from his side of the door, he's whispering, you know, tune out technology for a time, and I have something to say to you, and you have something to say to me, so allow me in, be still, and know that I am God. And if we can create that space, if we can be intentional about tuning out of technology and into God, then we will find the pearl that has no price, as the scripture speaks about this beautiful treasure that is priceless. This is God that we do. We discover God. What we discover is that God, well, my, you know, that's the way when Jesus says, go to your inner chamber, into your inner room, shut the door, and just be there. Be still. Know that I am God. When we discover that, there's nothing more beautiful than to discover that there really is a God, and this God knows me. Well, I mean, knowing me, he loves me. That's the good news. Because it's like with God, we can't... like maybe we don't want to go to the church to be preached at because we don't want to be reminded that we have to make some changes in our lives, or that this is, contrary to the commandments of God, or or whatever. And so again, it's not a club. The church isn't a club for the perfect, but it's a place where we grow, where we grow, you know. And the Lord doesn't wait for our perfection. Otherwise, nobody would be in the church. But He comes to us. He walks among the sinners, those who have defects, those who are marginalized, those who have idiosyncrasies or quirks, those who have fears and anxieties, those who are insecure, those who are either somehow sick in the mind and the body, the soul, or the spirit. And who is that? But that's everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Lord wants to abide within us. And when we can just open the door and allow Him to come in. So it's not, okay, it's one thing to hear about this Jesus out there, but to allow Him, or to know that He's knocking on the door of the heart and He wants to come in, and to say, okay, Lord, come in. My house is a little dirty, but come in nonetheless. You want to come in? He says, yeah, please. And because I'm going to help you clean that house up, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to help you clean it up. And we're going to take our time. Thank God. We're going to take our time, but we're going to work the soul. We're going to, you know, it's
I think he's not going to open the door and say, all of this needs to go now, honestly.
No, he might. He might, you know, depending, yeah, you know, but
the bad stuff, I would think.
Yeah, but even there, you know, mm-hmm. there was I don't know, did you see this, this thing with Lady Gaga?
No.
Well, you know, she's, she canceled her appointment. Don't let me.
Was it a concert?
A concert, I'm sorry.
She was sick or something.
I'm thinking of appointments. Yeah. I live from appointment to appointment.
Right.
She canceled her concert, mm-hmm. right, because she was sick.
Okay.
And she felt very, very bad. She posted on her, what is it, Instagram, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Whatever.
One of these things. This technology.
Facebook, Instagram.
Whatever, all this
Twitter,
stuff.
Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe all of it.
Yeah.
But she apologized to her fans. I think she used to call them her little monsters, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. You know?
But anyway, she apologized and she said, you know, this is the last thing I want to do, but I'm hurting, I'm very sick. I've got to get this health issue taken care of. She described what it was. But then she sent a picture of herself praying the rosary.
Wow.
It's a very beautiful prayer. She had the rosary around her hands. She was praying the rosary. And there was a lot of criticism, you know, she's just using that, and she's demonic and all that kind of stuff. And this is very wrong, you know, very wrong.
She has come a long way in my eyes. I'm going to be really, really honest.
Sure.
I've changed my opinion about her many, many times now.
I mentioned Lady Gaga and Madonna. Yeah. I've mentioned both of them before because they're both Catholics, right. You know. And but Lady Gaga, there, and then it was just a few weeks ago, she posted a picture of the priest, a friend of hers, a family friend, who had, I guess, they own a restaurant in New York City, and he came and he blessed the restaurant. Mm-hmm. But she made a comment about how she appreciated his homily, and he said something very beautiful about the Eucharist. She mentioned that. And I forgot exactly what it was, but she has said herself, mm-hmm. I'm conflicted.
Is she trying to end her career? Because if you're mentioning all of this, I'm sure with her following.
I was reading this morning as you mentioned that, and I don't know if it's fake news but I don't even remember what source it came from. But mm-hmm. but she actually speaks about making a pact with the evil, with the devil, and
it's got to be fake.
As she, well, no,
she's making a pact with the devil.
Well, what she says. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can find it. You know, we'll take a break. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and then I'll find it in the meantime. Okay. You know, because I thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. But and the point is, we live in a confused time. Mm-hmm. People are very confused. Number one, we've had very poor catechesis for generations already. I'm speaking just of the church, you know. The church gosh, I mean, you need to think about it. When I was a kid, nuns and priests were all over the place. You would see them, mm-hmm. you know. You don't see them at all. And hardly at all. But we've had to, you know, I don't think we yet have owned up to the harm the scandals have done to the church, the people of faith, people who are searching. You know, unfortunately, the media has kept that all. I don't know. But we're not making it easy for people to come back or to embrace the faith. This is why we really need authenticity, and you know, we need to allow those who have faith. And faith matures with time, right? Mm-hmm. But the hope is that we remain in the company of Christ, whether we see him or not, whether he's close or whether he's distant, whether we're going through the dark night or we're in the desert. All those struggles, those faith issues, those struggles of faith, are good because it brings us to deeper faith. If we have the grace to persevere, the grace is given, but. But again, I think living in a time when we have to have instantaneous gratification, it just doesn't happen that way in the faith. We're not going to be instantaneously gratified. And so people may go look for, you know, from one guru to another guru, wherever. It could become almost like a drug. I hate to say it. Mm-hmm. But the walk of faith, as Jesus said, it's not an easy walk. It's a difficult walk. But we got 4,000 years to fall back on, 4,000 years of historical record, you know, witness through good and bad, and the peaks and the valleys, and you know, the saints and the sinners, and some of the great saints were some of the worst sinners, and you know. But it's fascinating to know that we've got this living tradition, this story that continues to unfold, and we need to learn from that. But the point I'm making is that if there's ever a time when people need authenticity in the lived experience of the faith, this is the time. But that authenticity, you know, living one's faith with authenticity, that means that I'm daily nurturing my life in Christ so as not to create scandal, so as to be a light in the darkness, to be the leaven, to be the salt. This is to assist others on the way, but it means that I still, knowing my weaknesses, my quirks, my idiosyncrasies, my sinfulness, my inclination to the things of this world, knowing all that is a very real part of who I am, and yet I've found the pearl that has no price. I found Christ, and so I thank God for his generosity in remaining with me. I'm saying with me right now. I'm kind of talking about myself, but I mean any of us mm-hmm. who are. We call ourselves practicing Christians, practicing Catholics, then we would have the compassion, I would think, the compassion, or the empathy, or the understanding to walk with others in this very confused, very chaotic time where we're really up against competing with the pop culture, we're competing with fake news, we're competing with... We're pushing against the major deviations within the institution of the church. That's why you have to keep speaking about the mystical body. That's the church imbued with the very life of Christ. But we need that authenticity in order to help others in their quest, in their search, going back to their search for God. Because at the end of the day, we all, whether we admit it or not, I think, we're really searching for God. We're made for God. We're created by God, for God. Again, the devil's a deceiver. He creates the illusion. Anyway, take a break because we want to mention
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. You want to hear about that. So, all right, everybody, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen to Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing. On Saturday, October 7th at 1 p.m., choose love, choose life, and join in the 5th annual Northwest Families March for Life, beginning at St. Teresa Church, 455 North Benton in Palatine. Join the march to be inspired and energized. All faiths are welcome to gather. Teens from Crusaders for Life will lead the march with their energetic drumming and singing, with life-affirming signs to share the love of life. Hear Joe Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League. Additional speakers include Bishop Brasses, plus Save the Storks Mobile Ultrasound Initiative. And David Smith will educate marchers on how to respond with love and truth to the anti-life arguments for abortion and assisted suicide. After the march, back at St. Teresa, there will be a reception. For complete details, visit northwestfamiliesforlife.weebly.com. That's northwestfamiliesforlife.weebly, spelled W-E-E-B-L-Y.com. Come to the Northwest Families March for Life, Saturday, October 7th at 1 p.m. St. Teresa Church, 455 North Benton in Palatine. Choose love. Choose life.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I cannot believe that the hour is almost over. I got too much yet to talk about today.
We need 2 hours.
Today we do, I tell you, really. So let me get to do the Lady Gaga thing, and then don't let me leave the show without talking about the Blue Mass this Sunday at 10 o'clock, because it's... in commemoration of the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel, we're inviting police officers, firefighters, first responders, military personnel, the military to come in. We're having a mass to really entrust them to Almighty God, to to place them under the care of the Holy Mother of God, entrust them to their patron, St. Michael. They certainly put into practice the faith. Their mission is necessary in the life of the church to safeguard our civility, you know, that we want to live in a civil society. And so as St. Paul says, this is the reading this coming Sunday, do not do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory, rather humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interest, but also for those of others. And certainly those who don the uniform, wear the badge, that's a sign to us already that they've come not to be served, but to serve. No greater love than that you lay down your life for your friends, as Jesus said. And so they deserve our respect and certainly our love and our prayers. So so I've said it. So that's this Sunday at 10 o'clock, what they call a Blue Mass. I don't know where that, I guess because they were the men in blue, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we just got a few minutes, but Lady Gaga had to cancel her concert, and she was very apologetic and all that. But she talks about her own struggles, mental struggles, and she shares this that she had been on stage. She said, it was a good show. I was high on the love and applause from the crowd. She says, I was outside lighting a cigarette, thinking about scoring some more cocaine. I was aching for more of everything. I just wanted to feel good, feel anything. Then this ageless man in a suit spoke to me. He was leaning against a wall, smoking, and he said to me, I think you've got what it takes. Do you want it? I said, What do you mean, do you want it? And I thought he was coming on to me, but he smiled and said, everything, do you want it? Success, fame, riches, power, do you want it all? And she said, I looked at him curiously. I couldn't work him out. Then he just stood there and sang one of the songs from my routine earlier. This is before she became famous, right? Mm-hmm. And she said it was otherworldly. I stared at him like he was a dark jewel dredged up from the deepest ocean. I got down on my knees and asked him who I should praise. I looked at him right in the eye and told him I wanted it all. I wanted success. I wanted fame. I wanted riches. I wanted power. I wanted it all. And I told him I'd do anything. And so the point is, she believes the physical illness that she's going through right now, it's a chronic pain condition that she's been experiencing now for a while, is a physical manifestation of her fight to get out of the, as she calls it, the Illuminati record industry and break her contract with the Dark Prince. That they may give you special powers, outer beauty, talent, and wealth for a while, but it doesn't last. And that's what Lady Gaga said. This is the reason why so many people who dabble in the dark arts are so unhappy. They flicker bright like a morning star and then wind up committing suicide or destroying themselves with substance abuse. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of an eye-opener. But see, she's got the foundation, and she screwed up a little bit. Yeah, she says that herself, you know. She's, you know, again, look at the world we live in. And do we know, you know, today's a feast of the archangels. There are good and bad angels. There's lots of stories out there. But how we get seduced into something, how our entire nation is seduced into doing or acting in a certain way. You know, how do you explain, you know, really, we're at the end of time, but I always think of this, I think of North Korea, you know, an entire nation. You know, when you see that, you know, in uniforms, and or you think of the Nazi regime, you know, an entire nation, not everybody, but enough people that it led to the atrocities, the extermination of millions and millions of people, you know? So, I say evil convinces me there's a good. And what she's in this struggle, but she's certainly, she's got the foundation, confused by the world we live in and bought into the lie, in a sense. And will she just, snap right out of it? She admits that she's in the struggle. She's fighting. She's really fighting the good fight. And so rather than condemn her, we've got to, you know, say, okay, there but by the grace of God go I. But in fact, most of us, in some way or another, are fighting the same fight.
Or struggles.
So it's interesting, isn't it? You know? So, all right, everybody. I wish we had another hour today. You know, it would be nice.
Wow, that's weird. You said
I know. It is. It's strange, isn't it? But
someday.
That's it for now. All right, have a really, really nice weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao, ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? The shell appears strong, but the inside is rotten.